This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. USAA Homeowners Insurance not only helps you cover your home, it also helps you cover your budget, lower your premium in a number of ways, like saving up to 10% when you bundle home and auto insurance, saving up to 15% if you've been claims-free for 5 years, regardless of your previous insurance provider, and scoring even more deals and discounts on things like home security, moving, and storage with the USAA Perks program. Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to keep you connected and moving together as one.
Once, I lost so badly in my fantasy football league that I had to eat an entire can of dog food covered in wasabi. It was unpleasant. But now, I've found the Fantasy Footballers Ultimate Draft Kit. The days of dog food are gone as I dig into their breakouts, values, tiered rankings, and much more. If you want to join me in the winner's circle, where you don't have to paint your butt cheeks like an elephant's face, head over to www.ultimatedraftkit.com and prepare for your fantasy draft.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the podcast. And that's the Fantasy Footballers Podcast, if you are nasty. Is that a low groan?
Oh, it's a low groan. I'm jacked. I am so excited for this show.
I'm your host for the day, Mike the Fantasy Hitman Wright, joined by my best friend of the moment, Jason Moore.
How you doing, best friend?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing fantastic as well, because we have a awesome live show here in a couple days.
Indeed we do. It is July the 28th. We are on episode, Jason, do you know this?
Oh, my goodness.
12.
55!
I would have preferred a 1,200 and then 55. Like, 1,255 sounds like a time of day.
Okay. Well, it was that time at one point.
That's
checking
fair.
Your watch.
Well, I just thought if it was 1,255, it would be pretty cool.
Look behind you, Jason. Welcome into the podcast. Today we are breaking down the AFC North. If you want to follow us on socials, please do, where we're putting out a whole bunch of free content over there, instagram.com/fantasyfootballers. Or you can find Jason and myself on Instagram and Twitter, at JasonFFL. I am at FFHitman. You can find at Andy Holloway. Or you can find Andy at Andy Holloway over there. And of course, as great friend of the show, we'll call him CW because he's such a good friend of the show.
Yeah, C-Dub.
Yeah, C-Dubs was in the house talking about the Ultimate Draft Kit, ultimatedraftkit.com. That is our product. That is the tool that you need, the only tool you need for the off season to get ready for your fantasy football draft.
It's two mice.
All right, we got a jam-packed show because training camps are underway. A lot of things are happening, so let's get to it.
News and notes from around the league.
All right, the big one. Well, a lot of big ones came through, but the biggest one that came through, the Buccaneers and Thomas the Plant Man Brady.
Plant Man knows.
Things just keep getting better for that guy in Tampa Bay. They have signed Julio Jones to a one-year contract.
I feel like not everyone that makes a deal with the devil has it go as well as Tom Brady has. It was like a month ago, it seemed like Tom Brady was low in my rankings.
Right.
Who's going to be, you know, Russell Gage getting a little bit artificially inflated and, you know, because his situation, Godwin's not there. Antonio Brown is gone. Gronk is gone. And now they've really done a nice job retooling. I don't think Julio Jones is D-U-N. I don't think he's washed.
His body might be.
Going back, I mean, he might get injured for sure. I mean, he obviously dealt with an injury last year. But when you...
And the year before that.
I went and watched the film just to compare. You know, I've been pretty vocal anti-AJ Green over the last, you know, 12 months at least, if not longer.
24.
Yeah, probably 24. And when I watched that film, Julio still had a lot more to his game than AJ Green did. He just didn't have enough time on the field. So given what AJ Green did for the Cardinals last year, I think Julio can at least add that to the Buccaneers. Then you have the report that Chris Godwin,
yes,
not placed on the PUP. Now, he was not – this is a little confusing. I'll be completely honest here. I don't get what's going on with the PUP, with training camps. Like, I know, obviously, you go on the training camp PUP, you could come off the second you're recovered. Clyde Edwards-Helaire was on the PUP for about 12 minutes, and then they took him off. He's back at practice. Whereas other people, like James Robinson, who was not placed on the PUP – but they're hoping to have it practice like by mid-August.
Yeah.
And this is kind of similar to Chris Godwin. He was cleared for training camp, not placed on the PUP, but also was not participating in like the practice because he's not ready. So I don't really understand why some teams are utilizing the PUP and some teams aren't. It's still good news for his recovery timeline. Everything has been very, very positive. But for Brady, if you get Chris Godwin healthy, Julio Jones added to the roster. Mike Evans is already a star. You know, they even added Kyle Rudolph, who obviously he's not, you know, moving the needle in massive ways. But that's just another – when he's the fifth or sixth option at the back of the end zone being gigantic, Brady will find him.
Looking historically speaking, wide receivers who are 33 years or older and they changed teams – what happened for the following season, because Julio Jones, he is over 33. Essentially, the results are Anquan Boldin balled out because Anquan Boldin is an all-timer, which Julio Jones is. However, then you have like AJ Green, Jordy, Manny Sanders, like these guys where it was just...
It was meh.
Yeah, you know, like, I mean, it's not nothing because these are really talented wide receivers, but they're... clearly at the end of their career.
But a lot of those situations were wide receivers going to mediocre to bad situations.
Right.
This is a wide receiver going to Tom Brady who's going to throw the ball 700 times. So I do think this will be at least as good as, you know, if he plays the season, it'll be at least as good as AJ Green was last season.
In Seahawks news, the Chris Carson running back, he has retired from the NFL due to his neck injury. I mean, a really unfortunate injury. Chris Carson was awesome and a delight to watch him play football. But, I mean, hats off to that career from a seventh-round pick, basically the last pick in the draft, into a starting running back, 24 touchdowns in 5 seasons. Thankfully, he got himself a bag of money a couple years back, and the NFL will miss him.
Yeah, regarding Ken Walker and Rashad Penny, it was already assumed, I think, by most analysts, most fans, that it was just those two guys. Now it's kind of official that Chris Carson is gone. And it is official in the sense, like, check your dynasty rosters. If you forgot, like, oh, yeah, I had Chris Carson on there, he's done. There's no comeback happening. So drop him, make a transaction, move on.
We got big news out of San Francisco, Jason.
Oh, okay.
49ers coach Kyle Shanahan says he, John Lynch, and Jimmy Garoppolo, they all spoke, and they're all on the same page. Quote, "We have moved on to Trey."
Trey Lance, your boy.
I don't even need to say it. We can just call him Trey.
Is that his – you're not going to refer to him as Mr. Lance at under any circumstance? No respect?
We'll workshop some things.
Yeah, I mean, this was another one of those situations, right? It was assumed – but it is so nice to have the clarity, because if you keep going on and Garoppolo's there and yada, yada, at this point in time, I believe that they will cut Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't think they can go into the season with him on the roster after saying, you know, Jimmy knows, Trey knows, the team knows, this is Trey's team. And if that's the case, you know, the Seahawks are out there. Yeah, I don't think they would trade him to the Seahawks.
No.
But if they cut him, Jimmy Garoppolo can...
Well, They might be willing to. I mean, if you're the 49ers and you see the writing on the wall that no one is coming to get him, if you cut him, he has his choice of where he can go, and there's a few spots. Like, to me, it's Seattle, Houston, and we talked about it a little bit. I think Atlanta makes sense functionally that no coach ever wants to say we're fully in rebuild mode.
Sure.
But because if like the Falcons add Jimmy Garoppolo, that is a much, much better team than going out there with Marcus Mariota and then seeing if Desmond Ridder has anything.
Yeah, I mean, not really, though, because that team is so bad that Jimmy Garoppolo – I feel like you would need to add Patrick Mahomes. If you put Patrick Mahomes on that roster, I don't think they make the playoffs.
I'm not saying they're a playoff team, but I'm saying they are a much better team. And I think Garoppolo's a starter. Like, I wouldn't say he's a top-tier starter, but he's a starter in the NFL.
He can manage a really good roster. So, like, honestly, another situation that could come up, and we don't know the information, and right now all the rumors seem to be probably about an 8-game, but if Deshaun Watson were to lose the season, they have the cap space, and it would make sense to me to have a good roster led by Jimmy Garoppolo there. But it's Trey Lance's team, and there shouldn't be any fear about that. Draft him where he's going right now in your home leagues in that 9th, 10th round every time.
Yes, very excited for Trey Lance. The Saints have activated Michael Thomas. He let everyone on Twitter know that your favorite fantasy doctor was lying to you. I'm not really sure what he's doing, calling out the fantasy football community.
You just missed 2 years with an ankle injury, Michael Thomas. You can't be like, I've got no medical problems.
Yeah, for a man who is, the last time he caught a touchdown, it was December of 2019. He was the one that had a surgery right before the season started and then ended up missing the whole year. Weird stuff. Michael Thomas, interesting character, but he is back.
There's value.
Will he be good? I don't know, man.
I don't believe that he will be awful. I think he'll be probably the leading target.
I said, will he be good, though? I didn't say, will he be awful? Will he be good?
I think he'll be good for fantasy at the value for where he's dropped. Like, depending on, now I don't know, you know, if he's back at training camp, back in preseason games, and he starts skyrocketing up of boards and he's in the fourth round, no, it's probably not that great. But for where he's going right now, if you're in drafts going on or you've been taking him, he will certainly be a value for that spot that he's been landing.
Out of Washington, Antonio Gibson, my champion, former champion, not really sure at this point. It's a complicated relationship.
You've de-championed him?
I'm not going to say that, but it's a complicated relationship with me and Gibson.
You choose a champion to fight for you for your life. That's usually the role that's my understanding of choosing a champion in most...
Game of Thrones rules?
Game of Thrones rules. You choose a champion, they're going to fight for you, you live or you die. I would not put my life on Antonio Gibson. So I would be looking for a new champion. That might be Trey Lance.
Yeah, we'll see. But anyways, he's not practicing right now. He is being held out with an abundance of caution. It is a hamstring.
Yoo-hoo!
So at this point, nothing, but keep an eye on it.
Yeah,
at
it's
least.
Same with the Cardinals wide receiver, Marquise Hollywood Brown, was placed on the active non-football injury list with a hamstring issue that was caused while he was running routes on his own. These two issues are something where, it sucks, but it's also nothing. This is so early where usually a hamstring injury has the highest risk of re-injury within the first few weeks after coming back. So hopefully they're gone for a week or 2 weeks. They come back, and it's still enough timeline before drafts are happening where we're weeks past them being back from the injury, in which case it is absolutely nothing to me. With the sole exception of, like, Antonio Gibson, the one problem of him missing camp is that Brian Robinson, the third round running back, is now getting work with, you know, the first team, and he's playing the Antonio Gibson role. So no matter what, that is a negative for Gibson's potential fantasy value.
News out of Green Bay, rookie wide receiver Christian Watson. He had a minor knee surgery. He's going to miss a bit of time. This was very recent. He just had it in June. For fantasy value, immediate fantasy value for a rookie playing with Aaron Rodgers, this is potentially catastrophic news. I know that They put a lot into Christian Watson in terms of they moved way up in the second round to go get him. They came out and they said, we're not looking to add any veteran wide receivers. This, of course, said after they were linked to trying to get Julio Jones on the team.
Well, they're not anymore.
Well, yeah, I know. They missed out on that. But now you got Aaron Rodgers talking about my dude Alan Lazard a little bit more.
He had a funny quote when asked how, how's it going to be going from, Davante Adams to Alan Lazard as your wide receiver one. He said it's always hard when you go from a Hall of Famer to a Hall of Famer. And to which Mike was, he liked that joke.
I understand it's a joke, but I think there's a little bit of truth in there. Just a little bit.
I mean, look. We don't like all jokes.
A little bit. Yeah.
There's some bad jokes out there. That was a good joke for you. But I agree with you. Like the Christian Watson, I like Christian Watson. I have been.
He's an interesting prospect. Yes,
I've been pro Christian Watson as a prospect. I know that there are some red flags in his profile, but I like the talent a lot. I like the athleticism a lot. But the issue we've always had is like, okay, is he going to get the trust of Aaron Rodgers? Because that's all that matters. It doesn't matter where you were drafted. It doesn't matter what the GM or the coach wants.
Yes, like, says Alan Lazard, not drafted.
Yeah, exactly. Does Aaron Rodgers like you or not? Well, Aaron Rodgers doesn't know if he likes Christian Watson, and it's going to get to a later start. And so this is just bad news for him being able to – he's already got quite a few things to overcome. You don't want a knee – is a minor knee surgery, which is – it's just I prefer no knee surgery.
Yeah, I prefer that. You know what Watson should be doing while he's laid up? He should be on a Nicolas Cage movie bender. Because I don't know if you realize that Aaron Rodgers showed up cosplaying as Nicolas Cage and said some very complimentary things towards the actor. Just saying, Christian Watson, if you want to get in the good graces, I think that's a professional move to do that. All right. It is AFC North. We held off as long as we could on the AFC North because there is a team that has a quarterback situation.
A slight range of outcomes.
That is, at the time of this recording, is still not resolved, but we will do our best.
Mike, don't worry. As soon as we release this,
I know.
The information will come out.
I know.
Let's get divisional.
All right, the AFC North, the Cincinnati Bengals, they took home the division on their way to a Super Bowl appearance. The Bengals were 10-7. They dominated their projected win total of 6.5. They were 4-5 in one score games, and they were only favored in two games all season. No respect given to the Cincinnati Bengals.
Respect taken.
The respect was absolutely taken. Do remember, Joe Burrow was coming off a devastating knee injury. You had no idea if he was going to be able to bounce back. What is this team going to look like? But seventh in points per game, seventh in passing yards and passing touchdowns. Their rushing totals not as strong, despite Joe Mixon being excellent for fantasy football. So let's start at the top, Jason. How are you feeling about Joe Burrow?
I feel both good and bad about Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow, the player, the talent.
Coldy hot.
Well, it's the game. We're playing a game of fantasy football. So do I think Joe Burrow is a great NFL quarterback? I absolutely believe he's a great NFL quarterback. Do I think that we have not seen the best of Joe Burrow? 100%, I think he is going to get better. I think we'll look back. I believe Joe Burrow will be a Hall of Famer, and not just for the NFL, but for fantasy. I think he's going to win people fantasy titles. It's rough for me at this point in time to think that this is the year where he's being drafted with this current setup of coaching. Like, they got to the Super Bowl, so you can't really...
Well, here's the thing.
You can't criticize.
If you believe... If Joe Burrow is the dude that you believe he is, then this is his coach.
Like, right, I know that's...
At what point do they move on from the coaching staff if they just keep winning?
I know. That's
they don't.
Well, I think what's going to happen here is that if he keeps winning and Zach Taylor is there with his slow pace of play and his cowardice, I think that at some point, maybe that'll be this year. I don't think it'll be this year yet. But when he becomes, one of the top three or four widely known quarterbacks in the league, if that happens, he takes over. He calls things at the line of scrimmage. He runs the offense.
Sure.
And it changes from – it doesn't matter who the head coach of Tom Brady is or Peyton Manning or whoever. You could put in – Adam Gase could go with Peyton Manning.
Right.
Just as like a random hypothetical. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And he crushed. So I do think he'll overcome the coaching staff.
Yeah.
But right now, I don't think he's in that position. And Zach Taylor runs such a slow offense where, I mean, obviously last year he was, Joe Burrow was good because he was so unbelievably efficient. But he's being drafted as the quarterback 5 right now in fantasy, and he's not a guy that's going to be up there in the 500-600 rushing yards, rushing touchdown type. So for fantasy, I don't think I'm going to be drafting him much this season.
Joe Burrow is tough. This team is so bizarre because I agree. They're a very good team. I think Joe Burrow is excellent. But Joe Burrow... tons of questions here. Joe Mixon coming off a monster season. I mean, like, when I think about Joe Mixon last year, I think of, the Bengals are pretty good.
He was solid.
Joe Mixon was solid. He had he came through. He's a running back 3.
Yeah.
He had 1,200 rushing yards, nearly 300 attempts, 13 rushing touchdowns, 42 receptions for over 300 receiving yards, and 3 receiving touchdowns. Like, the dude smashed, and he had like a stretch run in the middle of the season. We're running back 4-2-4-3-2. Like, he was winning you weeks, and yet I'm still meh. I haven't drafted Joe Mixon anywhere because he's in that range of, like, to me he feels like he's not a top tier running back. So I'm gonna pivot. I'm gonna go grab one of the elite wide receivers because they're available. So. Am I wrong with that for Joe Mixon? I'm the lowest on him, but my ranking...
I don't think you're wrong.
Doesn't, like, my ranking just reflects other... I prefer other guys. It's not that I dislike Joe Mixon for fantasy.
Andy has him as the running back 4 overall. And when
Andy is all in.
When I first statted out everybody for the Ultimate Draft Kit, he was, I think, my running back 5, so I was all in. Over time, he is currently my running back 7, and it all comes down to pass catching. Joe Mixon came into the NFL, I think, as an excellent pass catcher. They do not use him in this way. They're putting Samaje Perine ahead of him as a pass catcher. You brought up, he had 42 receptions. He only had 48 targets.
But that's pretty normal.
That's almost a 90% catch rate. That is extremely efficient, and it goes back to Joe Burrow's efficiency. But my point is, he's not one of those guys that profiles to be thrown the ball 70, 80 times. And for fantasy, when you're talking in the first round, the top of the second round, it's really hard to draft a guy that you basically need 13, 14, 15 rushing touchdowns. And so I like him. I think he's going to be solid, but I don't think he has the chance to be the running back 1.
Okay. Jamar Chase and T. Higgins, they are both being drafted extremely high. I mean, we all know Jamar Chase, the rookie sensation, but just to highlight what he did, the third most 20-plus yard targets since the year 2000, only 3 wide receivers have had 18 yards per reception and 13 touchdowns in a season. Jamar Chase, Jordy Nelson, Randy Moss. That is some excellent company to be in for a player coming off of his first season in the NFL. So I don't think there's a ton of to discuss about Jamar Chase. T. Higgins to me is far more interesting because, like, the same is similar to Joe Mixon. Like, right when you think about Joe Mixon, you think about it was an okay season, you know, and he finished crazy high, much higher than I think most people really remember. When you think about T. Higgins, you think he absolutely dominated. Like, you know, I had him in the playoffs and, like, he carried me in the semis, like 194-2. Your memory of T. Higgins is the second half of the season after the bye week. Not remembering over the first half of the season, people were calling in and writing into the show saying, what do I do with T. Higgins? Should I drop T. Higgins because he's killing me? Where is the path forward for T. Higgins? Of course, then goes right on his monster run. So how do you handle the guy who's perceived to be the number 2 target in the Cincinnati Bengals offense. When, like, make some sense of this.
Yeah, well, just as a reminder to your story, a little additional gunpowder. During the season, if you're new to the Footballers, you haven't been with us through the season, our producers will put out a post like, who are your biggest questions about, like, should I drop? And he was the number one. Yeah. There was a week where he was the number one name where people were like, do I drop T. Higgins? Should I drop him? And it was tough to not drop him. You know, going after the first 8 weeks of the season, he hadn't done much. But he got injured early on, came back from the shoulder injury, and wasn't really good until, you know, several weeks later after their bye week, and then dominated. To make sense of T. Higgins is to believe in the talent of him and the quarterback. I wish that this was the Chargers coaching staff. Sure. That would allow them to throw the ball 650 times and 5,200 yards, in which case T. Higgins would dominate. In this situation, though, most fantasy years, basically every year, there are multiple wide receivers from the same team that finish as a wide receiver one. So two from the same team in the top 12.
Yep.
There are several every single year that are top 24 from the same team. I can't envision a world where these two guys, these young stud wide receivers, aren't both top 24. So I don't worry about him being the wide receiver two for the team at all. It is expensive, and you have to have Joe Burrow continuing to be efficient. But, I mean, my anti-Joe Burrow takes for fantasy have nothing to do with, like, if you throw for 4,800 yards and 35 touchdowns, I mean, your wide receivers are going to be outstanding.
Yeah, it's a great year.
But for fantasy, that doesn't do it alone at quarterback. If you're not also rushing in six touchdowns, you've got to be like that 5,040 to be a top-end quarterback. So I think that Burrow, what he does this year, will support T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase as two great picks.
And then you also have the slot receiver. You have Tyler Boyd, who he also had, you know, four good games. The other, it wasn't very consistent for Mr. Boyd. He has a C grade on his player profile at thefantasyfootballers.com, but you still saw a few spike weeks, including scoring in three straight games as they finished out the season before, of course, the Bengals took week 18 off. Is Tyler Boyd on your radar at all?
No, not at all. You know, he's one of those guys that, he got exciting down the stretch because I think he had two weeks in a row with a 50-yard touchdown where it was like the entire defense forgot about Tyler Boyd, and he takes it to the house. That can happen, but sure. In a redraft league, you're not going to be playing him every single week, and I think his upside is limited as the wide receiver three, even if he finishes the year as like he finishes as the wide receiver 32. So it's like, oh, that's a decent finish. If you played him every single week along the way, I'll bet you lose most of your matchups. So yep. He's not someone I'm going after.
All right. We're going to take a quick break and then talk about the Steelers.
This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. When you're a homeowner in the military community, peace of mind is priority. And USAA Homeowners Insurance is the award-winning service to give you just that. If you have to file a claim, the process is transparent and easy. You can do it all right in the USAA app. And replacement cost coverage comes standard. That means damaged items are repaired or replaced, even if they cost more today than they did when you bought them, which could put your wallet at ease to tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by The Deal. The line between business and sports is getting blurrier by the day. To understand it all, check out The Deal, a podcast co-hosted by Yankees legend Alex Rodriguez. Every week, A-Rod and Bloomberg reporter Jason Kelly speak with big-time athletes, entertainers, and executives like Derek Jeter, Maria Sharapova, and more. The Deal takes you behind the scenes into the world of sports, business, media, and entertainment, and dives into the wins, losses, and lessons learned along the way. From Bloomberg Podcasts and Bloomberg Originals, listen to new episodes of The Deal on Spotify every Thursday.
The Steelers 9-7-1. I mean, they Mike Tomlin and crew, they pulled off another winning season. One score games, they were 8-2. This is another one of those teams though. 9-7-1. Yet a negative 55! point differential.
That's not where you want us to be hitting that button.
That is, yes, you would rather it be a positive 55. This is one, though, Mike Tomlin's a great coach, so mm-hmm. I don't read too much into this one. Like, I expect Mike Tomlin to be 8-2 in one-score games and figure out a way to win. But that was last year's team. That was Ben Roethlisberger, who is now retired. So you have a very different-looking team. They drafted Kenny Pickett, the quarterback, in the first round from the 20th spot, and then they added George Pickens in the second round for the quarterback. Let's just start there. You have Mitch Trubisky, Money Trubisky. Money?
Yeah, Tomlin was talking about him, called him Money. I don't know. But right now...
We need the research team on this.
Right now, Mitchell Trubisky appears to have the clear lead as the starter. This is a team, you just talked about it. Like, they're always a winning team. They've always had Tomlin. And I'm very interested in the Steelers this year. Just from, like, a curiosity standpoint. The Big Ben versus Mike Tomlin. You know, what was Big Ben making them always win these games, even though he looked like he sucked the last few years? Was Tomlin, who I believe is an awesome coach... is he the one holding the ship together? But now we get to see kind of like this new version. You know, you remember 2 years ago when you couldn't run against the Steelers? Like, you just couldn't?
Yes.
And then last year they were 32nd against the run and still ended up, you know, making the playoffs. So I'm just really wanting to see what happens here. And this could go all over the place. I do have Mitchell Trubisky as the starter. I have him currently with 16 games and one game for Kenny Pickett. That seems to be like the cool thing. You know, you put Trey Lance in for a game, you put Patrick Mahomes in for a game, and then next year he'll take over.
It will be very interesting as the Steelers historically a very winning team. If they can, you know, get that defense back together, they can win games. They could probably make the playoffs with Mitchell Trubisky. And Kenny Pickett being drafted 20th, I think that gives them I feel like they have the leverage to sit him the entire year and not really be questioned about it unless the season completely flips upside down on them, which, again, I don't expect that to happen. At the running back position, Najee Harris, an absolute monster when it came to workload. Not really efficient so much on the ground, but he was, you know, one of those guys that benefited from, you know, the pop cap of an arm or pop gun of an arm that Big Ben had these days, and he just kept checking it down over and over to Najee.
Also handing it to him.
307
rushing attempts. That's crazy.
But, I mean, the targets were absolutely crazy. Talking about Najee is difficult because I think that Najee will still be excellent for fantasy football. But the three of us, as a consensus, we are a little bit lower on him compared to his ADP, which it's not a huge discrepancy between where we have him ranked and where he's going, you know, just a couple of spots. But when you are in the first round, that's magnified. Like, it's not just, oh, you have Najee three spots behind where he's being drafted. That's a much bigger deal in the first round.
Yeah, right now he's the running back 6 being drafted at the 7th spot on average on Sleeper. So, you know, when you guys, like, Mike, you got him 9, Andy has him as the running back 12. So you're not going to draft him at the 7th spot.
Right.
If you've got several other running backs ahead of him. I have him as the running back 6. So I have him basically exactly where his ADP is. I'm fine with Najee. I find since I made the transition to Trubisky, and I just credit the offense being able to do a little bit more this season, I think Najee's going to be fine. Year after year after year, I don't know how we can still have these cockamamie conversations about how, like, well, this is the year that they're not going to, you know, they're going to rest their running back a little bit. You know, they're going to they're going to split up the workload or make sure he's not overused. It's like, I feel like this is like 7 years running where the Pittsburgh Steelers, oh, they're going to do it. They're going to bring in another back. They're going to rest him. It's like, no, they haven't, and they don't. I will not believe that until after I see it. Najee is going to touch the ball 330 times. I think if you had to, like, Najee will touch the ball the most in the NFL. Of every single NFL player that's not a quarterback, Najee will touch the ball the most. Now, he will be worse than last year, I believe, because he will not get the targets quite the same. And that's where so much of his value came from. He'll still be targeted a lot, but he's like, I think of him as just a poor man's last year in Najee Harris, which is still pretty darn good.
He's a poor man's version of himself?
Yep. Yep.
All right.
It's never been done.
Well, I mean, it's been done because, like, if you go if Jason Moore goes out and he spends a lot of money, now you're a poor version of Jason Moore.
That's true.
At the wide receiver,
I got so much cool stuff.
I'm rich in my heart. At the wide receiver position, Diontae Johnson has been an elite wide receiver for fantasy football, often very disrespected, but currently being drafted as the wide receiver 13. He is a separation master. He is separating himself currently from the team. That's how good he is.
So good at separating.
He's sitting out the team drills right now. He wants money.
This is a hold-in.
Yeah, he is holding in. And we have a bit of a game of chicken going on because the Steelers were at least it was leaked out. I don't know if they were just flat out saying it, but it hit the press that they are not going to give Diontae Johnson the type of money that he thinks he deserves. Are they leveraging to try and find a more team-friendly deal? That remains to be seen. But he's just Diontae Johnson, so reliable, at least when Ben was the quarterback. 5-plus receptions in all but one game. So, I mean, pretty reliable. But how are you setting you up here, Jason? How are you feeling about Diontae Johnson, who we had a little talk about him on this week's Footcast?
Yeah, I don't like him. I just
No. I want you to explain your true feelings about him.
So I find myself rooting against him at all times.
Yes, you, for whatever reason, want Diontae Johnson to fail.
For fantasy and for football. Like, I don't want the man to fail. I hope he gets a new contract and has a great life. Wonderful children. I hope, you know, he's got a great relationship at home.
But for 2022, you want him to fail. You want him to crash and burn.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. And I don't know why this is not good analysis. Okay. So sometimes there's just
playing with hate in your
shadows
heart.
Shadows in your heart, and he's in that corner. But let me explain my rationale. I guess what happens, if I can do a little bit of self-therapy here, like, you know.
Please do.
Yeah. I was very low on him compared to everyone, like compared to everyone, and that's how my stats, when I statted everybody out, that's just how it worked. Now, I had started with Kenny Pickett as the quarterback, so when I worked backwards from there, I didn't expect many yards for the team. I didn't expect many touchdowns, so everyone was really, really nerfed. He has since come up quite a bit, but I'm still much lower on him than consensus, and I think the reason, like, because I'm there, I find myself, I mean, just naturally, like, rooting for my own stats to be right. And, I mean, I'm a human being, you know?
Right.
Guilty as charged. But the reality is, he is a great separator. We say targets are an earned statistic. You earn your targets. But I think that there is legitimacy to the fact that Big Ben snapped the ball and threw it. He did not want to hang in that pocket and get touched, get hit with a terrible offensive line. And who's open in half a second? Diontae Johnson. Diontae Johnson's open in half a second. I don't think that Mitchell Trubisky is just going to do that. I don't think he's just going to grab the ball and look to throw it to Diontae, grab the ball and try to save his life and throw it to Diontae as much. And
so he hyper-targeted Allen Robinson.
But with Allen Robinson, he didn't have other great options here. Chase Claypool is a good wide receiver. You just brought in two, I think, good rookies. One great rookie. I think George Pickens is great. You've got Pat Freiermuth. There are, and he gets Luth.
He gets Luth.
So I think that Diontae Johnson, like, I don't have him killed. I mean, I will never draft him.
Because you want him to fail.
I've got him as the wide receiver 23 right now. So he's not that low. But he's being drafted in the fourth round on Sleeper right now, early fourth.
Because he's been great.
Yes, he has been great. In fact, last year on a points per game basis in half PPR, he was the wide receiver 10 in points per game. So we need to say that side of it too. Andy loves Diontae Johnson. I mean, you watch the film, there's not a lot to not like. It's just a matter of like scheme, quarterback, and situation that I think he's going to be overdrafted for where he finishes this year, since he's not like this dominant big-bodied guy or this speedster or this, you know, he's just a good route runner, and he's got Mitchell Trubisky. Whereas Allen Robinson was a freak athlete.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, what's coming off the ACL? I don't know. Deontay Johnson is interesting, but speaking of Chase Claypool, these numbers are fascinating, Jason. I'm going to read some things off for you, okay?
I'm going to listen.
So 109 targets turning into 62 receptions for 870 yards.
Not bad.
105 targets turning into 59 receptions for 860 yards.
Not quite as good, but...
But, you know,
yeah,
very, very close.
Similar.
That was his rookie year and his sophomore year. So, like, the raw statistics, very, very close across the board.
But the third
except
category, yep.
As a rookie, 9 receiving touchdowns, 2 rushing touchdowns. As a sophomore, 2 total touchdowns. Chase Claypool I'm not gonna pound the table here for Chase Claypool. He absolutely burned me last year, but he's still interesting here. If you have like Mitch Trubisky. We'll find out, is he a better quarterback than Ben was at this stage of his career? What we do know is Trubisky can move around. He can roll out. He can bootleg out of the pocket and perhaps hit Chase Claypool down the sideline. Now, that would also require Chase Claypool to, you know, up those 50-50 ball game because it was not very great this past year. But for a post-hype sleeper who... The fantasy community was very excited for Chase Claypool to take another step off of that rookie career because that was truly a great one. When you have 10-plus touchdowns as a rookie, that's a sign of great things to come. Lets everybody down with it. And if he had just hit 6 touchdowns, we would not feel anything like we do about Chase Claypool. But going in the back of the 9th, wide receiver 46, with that size and that athleticism, I think that Claypool is interesting late.
I do think that Claypool is being overlooked for what his raw talent is.
And according to him,
because I believe he said he's
top three
NFL wide receivers, which is very impressive to be one of the best 3 wide receivers
in the league,
in the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, incredible stuff, Claypool.
Jefferson. Chase.
Claypool. Yep. Nailed it. Good job.
Oh, that was almost like a Wheel of Fortune, too. Jamar Chase Claypool.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, no.
Jamar
all right.
Chase
before and
Claypool.
After.
Yeah, thank you, Brooks.
Yeah,
Brooks jumping in with that Wheel of Fortune knowledge.
Well, I am unaware of what the Wheel of Fortune thing is, but I like the Jamar Chase Claypool.
That's exactly what it is. It's when you mash 2 phrases together, but one of the words...
I've never heard of this. Of course, I've also never...
You don't wheel,
no,
bro?
No, I don't watch Wheel of Fortune. I'm not 80.
Oh, you don't need to be 80 to enjoy some wheel?
You need to be 80
to
watch
it. Get down with Pete Sajak? Come on.
How old is Pete Sajak?
He doesn't look a day over 50.
He's a robot. That's why. anyways.
Android. Jason Android.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Is that the... That's
He's
the
part right? human.
So... I think Chase Claypool is a good raw talent. He's another one of those guys I'd rather have in best ball than in a redraft because I think he'll have spike weeks, deep touchdowns, things like that, which the touchdown thing is crazy. You know, it kind of don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not calling him Mike Evans, but Mike Evans came into the league and scored a bunch of touchdowns and then disappeared for touchdowns once, and then it was like, oh, well, no, he came. Like,
yeah.
The dude can score touchdowns. Claypool was a touchdown machine to start, so I don't worry about that at all. I think he's a value in best ball, but in redraft, I'm not sure that I love Trubisky's wide receiver 2.
For George Pickens, if you're curious, like again, this is a new team, but historically speaking, the Pittsburgh Steelers, tremendous at drafting rookie wide receivers. Of course, I'm going to say this after we just talk about Claypool, but historically, rookie wide receivers for the Steelers don't really do a whole lot, and it's hard to see a world where Deontay is paying off, Chase Claypool is having an okay season, and it's Mitchell Trubisky or Kenny Pickett. Like,
I think Pickens is
not interested in him for redraft.
I think Pickens is really good. as he's a talented player. I like him a lot. He had good draft capital, good measurables, good production. And I think he's going to be on the field in three wide receiver sets. He projects to be their best outside receiver to me. So if that's the case, I think it does more to hurt Deontay Johnson and Chase Claypool than it does to say George Pickens is going to come out and dominate as a rookie with Trubisky behind these other two wide receivers. But if he is good, then I do think it takes away from the other guys. I'm just not really interested in the receiving options for this offense personally, and that hurts me when it comes to talking about Pat Freiermuth.
The Muth got very, very loose as a rookie. But this year, he's so good. And at the tight end position, I don't mind someone betting on the talent of a player who looks like an up-and-coming, a face of the position. But again, everything I said about Pickens, I double that over to the Muth. Just it's hard to really get excited about an option so low on the in the order when it's Trubisky or a rookie throwing the ball.
Yeah, but the shirt's so good. So I think I'm in.
Look, I want it to work. I want to be excited on a weekly basis.
We're all rooting for you,
about
Pat.
Getting Luth.
We're just not drafting you.
All right. The Browns were 8-9. They failed to hit their win.
Producer check. Do we have news on Deshaun Watson since we started recording?
No. Okay. It's not coming out until this show is live.
No, that's true.
They did not hit their win total. They were projected to be 10.5, or their projected total was 10.5. 5-6 in one score games. Now, they made a really big move here. Baker Mayfield is out. He will now be splitting first team reps with Sam. Do you want to speak on that for a moment?
Yes, I do. So
I feel like you should take. Speaking of self therapy, you should have a moment.
I have been a supporter.
Yes,
of Matt Ja Rule, head coach of the Carolina Panthers. I have continued while everything and everyone says no. I don't think he's a good coach. I still believe.
You're the one dude at the Fyre Festival that's like, it's not that bad.
I was the last one there. Everyone left me, and it turns out y'all were right because I quit Ja Rule, okay? He is splitting first team reps with Baker and Darnold. No one, including, the sportsbook lines, have any question who the week one starter is. It's going to be Baker Mayfield. The team doesn't have a question. The players don't have a question. It's going to be Baker Mayfield. But it's like, it's for show. It's like, oh, it's to support Darnold and make sure, hey, competition is good. You know what else is good? Practice.
Yeah.
Playing with your teammates and practicing for a new team. Maybe that would help you win games with Baker Mayfield. No, let's take half of his first team reps out so they could compete. Matt Ja Rule, my love affair's over.
I remember last year there was a clown coach who was splitting reps with the first overall pick.
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence and Gardner Minshew.
Oh, you gotta make it a competition.
Let's try this theater that maybe Trevor Lawrence won't be the starter. Just put the guy in. Baker is better than Sam Darnold. Is he the answer? Find out.
Yeah.
But the answer is he better than Sam Darnold? Yes, that's inked in. All right, back to the Browns. So,
thank you for that, though, Mike.
Yeah, you're welcome. What's going on with Deshaun Watson? The legal case, the NFL punishment has still not been handed down as to this point. The latest that I have heard is that the Cleveland Browns are getting ready for an 8-game suspension, which, okay, so for fantasy football purposes, that's a pretty big deal. That if you're talking about these, like, were you excited about Amari Cooper, who the Cleveland Browns also traded for this offseason? They got him for, a couple scraps. The Dallas Cowboys shedding salary, just overall done with Amari Cooper, who knows? But Amari Cooper is their number one wide receiver. But if it's not Deshaun Watson, it's going to be Jacoby Brissett. And Jacoby's like a fine player. I think he's a good backup quarterback for fantasy. You cannot be excited about anything other than Nick Chubb.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen this play out, right? I mean, he came in for Andrew Luck, Jacoby Brissett, and ran an offense kind of late to the party where it's like, well, this wasn't your team, but it's your team now, and we saw how it went, which was not the worst in the league, but worse than middle of the pack. So,
hey, where's the meat?
Yes. Oh, yes. Where's the Jacoby beef brisket?
I mean, we saw him a good bit again last year for the Miami Dolphins where – looks trying to do the quick math as a starter. I think he was 2-3.
Yeah. So the reality is this is a really good team, and this is why they went out and got Deshaun Watson, because they felt like they were a quarterback away from a Super Bowl. They've got great offensive defensive line. I think they've got depth at most of the defensive positions. Their running back core is the best in the league with Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. I mean, they just need a quarterback to run it. And so Brissett, I think, can keep them alive from an NFL winning games perspective for Deshaun Watson to come back and in their eyes, hopefully get them to the playoffs. I think that's the recipe they're preparing for right now. But for our purposes, for fantasy purposes, if you're talking about a redraft league, who I'm drafting, who I'm not drafting any of the pass catchers at my home league at all. Unless Deshaun Watson is not suspended at all, that would change quite a bit. But if he starts the first 6 weeks, you know, I've talked about how I don't want Hopkins. I'm not drafting him hardly at all because I just don't want to have a roster clog for the first month and a half while I'm almost halfway through the regular season of fantasy football. Amari Cooper's not going to be great with Jacoby Brissett. Donovan Peoples-Jones, no receiving option. David Njoku, who I really, really like. Not going to be great with Jacoby Brissett. Now, if this is best ball, you're doing an underdog draft, well, you're going to get those weeks with Deshaun Watson. Like you have to draft the whole season at the beginning of the year. So I'm much more willing to do that to get those big weeks that I think will come versus in a redraft league, they're all going to be on waivers. You don't want them on your bench. By the time Watson comes back a week or two beforehand, there's going to be a mad scramble for the pieces on waivers. That's the way it's going to play out. Now, the running game, yeah. I think the running game is going to be great before and during Deshaun Watson.
So are you in on Nick Chubb in the second round?
I am in on Nick Chubb in the second round. He's falling to the back of the second. I've seen him in the third. So at that 2-3 turn where Nick Chubb is going, absolutely. A couple years ago, he was like the running back six off the boards. And that was a little too pricey for me for a guy who's not a pass catcher, even though he's so great on the ground. But if I can get him at the 2-3 turn, yeah, I'm in.
As many top 10 games as Joe Mixon, 36% of his games were great. He's so, so good. But again, the pass catching is interesting. So we won't spend a lot of time on, but like Deshaun Watson, historically a strong fantasy football player, but now he's coming into, this is a run first offense. This is not a high flying shootout type of an offense. This is high T Kevin Stefanski stuff. Does Watson go right back into being like a top quarterback option for fantasy? I mean, like,
yeah,
or
does.
Is there any concerns there?
No,
because of the offense.
No, I mean, I think he comes back. He's mobile. He's going to run the ball. He's going to get some rushing touchdowns. You know, you see it with Ryan Tannehill when you've got Derrick Henry. And it's like, hey, guys, stop this goal line rush attempt. And then it's like, well, Tannehill gets 7 rushing touchdowns of the season. That's going to happen for Deshaun Watson. And while it is a run-first team, and it has been with Stefanski's a good coach. And I think they've been running the ball because that's how they win. And I think they know they can win more games with Deshaun Watson than without him. And that's going to be because he's a great quarterback. So, you know, I'm not worried about Deshaun Watson being, you know, outside of the top 10 fantasy quarterbacks on a per game basis once he's playing. I think he's going to be very good.
Last year, 22nd in pace of play. So they slow things down. So, and remember when the Watson news come out, just kind of, you know, control alt delete all that analysis that happened there, and then we'll update you later.
Well, probably not, because I think when it comes out, I mean, this is now I'm really setting myself up for massive failure. But if it comes out that it's, you know, an 8-game suspension, then pretty much everything we said holds up.
The Baltimore Ravens, 8-9, they failed to hit their projected win total as well. 6-6 in one-score games. But such a weird year.
It was not. It was so unfair.
Such a weird year for the Baltimore Ravens, who sixth in total passing yards, seventh in points per game, third in rushing attempts, third in rushing yards, ninth in rushing touchdowns. Like, everything was there. But
except the team.
The team wasn't there. But I'm saying those are fantastic numbers across the board. But if you played Mark Andrews, you were pretty happy about that, who had an absolute dominant tight end finish and really carried some teams. You know, Devonta Freeman here or there. But, like, if you went on Lamar, he had some boom games still, but then he had games where you're like, well, where's Lamar Jackson? Why is he not carrying my team right now? It was so strange to see this team flip where the defense completely fell apart. All right, as you know, we were targeting the Baltimore Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
There we were targeting their secondary. You wanted your pass catchers going against the 32nd ranked Baltimore Ravens passing defense. So anyways, that's last year. So moving forward, how are you feeling about Lamar Jackson as the potential QB1?
I don't think he's going to be the potential QB1. I like Lamar Jackson. I will draft him quite a bit, and he obviously has the highest rushing upside of all quarterbacks. There's not really, to me, a second place that can. If every quarterback plays 17 games, there's no one else who's going to compete with him on rushing yards and the ground game for Lamar Jackson. He's too good. He played 12 games last year. Six of them, he was a quarterback one. So the problem was, when he didn't have a great game, he was pretty disappointing. So
right.
As far as the overall quarterback one, we've obviously seen it. It's in the range of outcomes for Lamar Jackson. Duh. I don't think it happens, because what needs to happen for that to come together is what happened where he, you know, is rushing for 1,000 yards and throwing for like 35-plus touchdowns. You know, that he kind of surprised the world when that happened. I don't see that happening again, but obviously – can it happen? Sure. You lose Hollywood Brown, which doesn't help, because he was the number one target for a large chunk of last year. I mean, the beginning of the year, Hollywood was amazing. But I think you kind of have to throw last year out, because
very strange.
We learned some lessons that I think we need to take from last year. But, you know, per Football Outsiders, the Ravens had the most adjusted games lost, 192 due to injuries, of any team over the last 20 years. So, I mean, they were decimated. If you don't remember, it was a comedy of errors losing players. They lost their whole team. So what did we learn? We learned that this team would rather have a veteran who can pass protect at running back over an athlete who is able to actually get to the outside or have successful running plays.
Right.
Because they lost their two star running backs. But going forward this year, I think Mark Andrews is still my tight end one.
Okay.
So I prefer him a lot over Travis Kelce when you factor in ADP. You can get Mark Andrews sometimes at the end of the second, whereas you're still spending a first rounder on Kelce, and the players there are obviously much more valuable than the players around Mark Andrews. And I like taking a shot on Lamar Jackson when he falls, which he does from time to time. But that's a know-your-league situation. I don't think I'm going to take him at the top of the fifth.
To just, you know, highlight again the weirdness, Lamar Jackson had 9 games of 30 or more pass attempts this past season. Through his first 3 years in the league, he had 7 total. Like, the Ravens were just getting scored on. So I think the passing attempts, you know, they will be up compared to the first 3 years. But I'm not projecting them to be anywhere near where they were this past year. Which, so Mark Andrews is still fantastic, but I don't have him as high as you guys do. Let's just touch on Rashad Bateman then before we move into the running backs. A 15.7% target share last year, you know, a first round pick. That's a decent target
share. He's a very talented wide receiver.
Yeah, a very talented. He profiles to me more as a number one wide receiver than Hollywood Brown does. Brown is undersized, but extremely fast. Bateman seems to be more well-rounded. But it's very difficult for me to be all in on Rashad Bateman. In the pre-draft process, I've kind of found that too. Like when everyone was really excited for Hollywood Brown, and I'm putting my numbers in, I'm like, I just can't get him there unless you have a huge outlier touchdown thing happen, that's what Hollywood Brown was doing at the beginning of the season. Where are you on Rashad Bateman, currently going as the wide receiver 34?
I am. I think he will finish better than the wide receiver 34. I mean, if that's where he's being drafted in your leagues, I'll draft him every single time there. He's currently my wide receiver 20.
That's a decent breakout.
Yeah, there is not a lot of other options. I mean, you have Devin Duvernay and Prochet, and there are people. But as far as talent, this is like
they have people on the team.
This is a two-man show. You know, it's Mark Andrews and Rashad Bateman, and that's what I like when I'm trying to target fantasy points. Is like I want a consolidation of those targets. I don't think Bateman will be the super sensational breakout down the field superstar for fantasy that some people are hoping and projecting.
That's more where I was getting.
But I think he'll be a highly targeted, good possession receiver that is valuable on a week-to-week basis with maybe even more consistency than people expect.
The running back position is extremely difficult. You have J.K. Dobbins, who was absolutely electric as a rookie. In fact, the most rushing touchdowns ever for a rookie running back with fewer than 140 carries. It felt like basically every time he got the ball, and it took a while for the Ravens to move away from Mark Ingram. J.K. Dobbins took that job over the second half of the season. Then Gus Edwards, who also he feels like every time he touches the ball, he's going at least 5 yards.
Yeah.
He's just an absolute tank. He also tore his ACL along with J.K. Dobbins in the preseason and training camp part of the year. They're both on the PUP list. J.K. Dobbins was very vocal and adamant that he's going to be ready to go. He said he's probably not going to end up on the PUP, so you know, check one box for Ian Rappaport's source. But running back 22 for J.K. Dobbins, for a guy that we just don't know, is he electric enough that you're willing to take on the risk?
I haven't been, no.
Okay.
On these things, I try to default to people with actual medical degrees and knowledge of the science and stuff like that.
But, right.
His injury is different than just...
Would you like to ask the cardboard bear?
Yes. His injury was pretty significant. Multi-ligament plus the meniscus. And will he be back week one? Maybe. He says he will. Will he be utilized in a heavy workload fashion right back from this injury to be a really good fantasy football pick? Almost certainly no. Like I can't imagine a world where you come in week one, he is getting 25 total touches, 25 opportunities a game. I just can't see that happening. And then if he did do that, what is his efficiency off of this injury? Because usually it takes 2 years back from this type of an injury before you're back to pre-injury production. So I have been passing on Dobbins. Early in the offseason, loved Dobbins. I think in our Ultimate Draft Kit, he was kind of listed as a breakout super, super early. The more information that came out, because originally it was thought to be a clean ACL, and then the timeline started saying, man, he should be back. Oh, he's not back because it wasn't a clean ACL. And it's like, then you found more and more to how severe this injury was, and it's just someone I'm betting against. I'm not going to buy the injury dip here. Gus Edwards, his running mate, was like, well, okay, he's got a clean ACL. Good. Maybe I'll draft him. In fact, I drafted quite a bit of him in best ball because he's so late. He is left for dead because he's injured, and he's the backup, so that makes sense. But if J.K. Dobbins is completely not ready to go, then Gus Edwards has a great opportunity, except now we're at the training camp. on a timeline where he should be good to go.
Right.
And he's not.
Yeah.
So now I'm like, well, is there more to his injury? Like,
how much of their recovery is related to the Baltimore training field?
Yeah, it's got to be probably 85% of it.
Groundskeepers in Baltimore, I hope this problem has rectified itself.
Yeah, get some green grass there.
Who wins the division?
Who wins the division?
Is this current that the Ravens are the favorite?
That's they moved from third to the favorite.
That is my pick.
Wow. You're not going to go a repeat of the Bengals?
Super Bowl losers don't always have a kind year back off of the Super Bowl loss.
Yeah. I'll take the Ravens.
Hey, Foot Clan, this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How is it doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? Maybe sometimes those events make you feel drained. Maybe they make you feel like you're bursting with energy like Papa Josh. But you might not know why it's at that level. Maybe it's not enough boundaries set up and you're just doing too much. Maybe you get less social in different times of the year or you're working too much. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin. Look, we live in the era of hurry, hurry, hurry. And social gatherings, they pick up and then you are burnt out. So you got to figure it out. And therapy can help you figure out that self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery so you can enjoy it. And when you are feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can help give you the tools you need to recharge and take care of yourself. I highly recommend that. All you have to do is give BetterHelp a try. Fill out a brief questionnaire. Get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch them at a moment's notice. There's no extra charge for switching therapists if you didn't find the right one. And you can find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/footballers.
Best Ball Breakdown, presented by Underdog Fantasy.
All right.
Whoa, it's back.
Here's what we're doing. Today, we're going to talk to you in making your underdog lineups about stacks.
Everyone's favorite thing to talk about.
But Jason!
Oh my goodness. The VOPO, the voice of public opinion. You waited until now?
Well, hey there, Mike.
Hey, VOPO, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I got a vacation. Been globetrotting.
You sound much more like Mickey Mouse this time.
I got a lot of pep in my step. Anyways, we're talking about stacks again. You've been talking about stacks already.
Yeah, my friend Jason loves talking about them.
The reason we're talking about
stacks on stacks,
the reason we're talking about it again is twofold. One, it's because it is important. If you're playing Best Ball Mania 3 and you are not stacking the Best Ball Mania 3, if you're not stacking your quarterback with a pass catcher, you're not building optimal lineups. And we want the Foot Clan to win Best Ball Mania 3. Like, that's our – I want someone here to be like, yeah, I became a millionaire. Thank you. Well, you're welcome. And I do expect a tip. Yeah, I'm giving you tips right now.
What? 50-50?
No, Mike. I think we can give the winner
55! Okay, 55-45.
55%. We'll take the 45.
Nice.
We're honorable men. So stacks are important. But today, we're not just talking about, oh, stack. I'm going to bring up and clarify that not all stacks are the same and just give you a cheat sheet. I want to give you guys a couple targets, easy takeaways of maybe who to target as stacks that can actually come together, because sometimes you're at certain parts of the draft, it's hard to stack a player with a different player based on ADPs. But here's the first and foremost point, is that you want a stack that elevates your quarterback. When you grab the greatest, you know, you're spending a first rounder on Stephon Diggs, who I love, and Josh Allen, who's going to be the wide receiver, the quarterback one in the third round. Those guys are expected to be great. Their draft cost is already factoring in that their elevated greatness. They're not making each other necessarily better. In fact, that had a negative correlation last year. That stack had a negative correlation to advance rates in Best Ball Mania 3. Same with Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. I mean, they were great last year. What more do you want but what they did? And it was a negative correlation because you're spending so much on that, and those players aren't elevating the quarterback over expectation. Whereas, let's take a look at, I don't know, Carson Wentz, your favorite quarterback,
vomit.
Mike. Well, you love Carson Wentz. Only 33% of Carson Wentz's lineups were stacked with either Jonathan Taylor or Pity City. But when they were stacked, to give you a frame of reference, let's say you stacked Patrick Mahomes with Travis Kelce. You advanced 10% of the time. Let's say you stacked Carson Wentz with Michael Pittman. You advanced 21% of the time.
Okay.
Let's say you stacked with Jonathan Taylor. I mean, obviously, Jonathan Taylor was just a great pick.
Sure.
But that's 43% of the time. When you stack with a guy that is kind of a lower expectation with a quarterback that isn't everybody's favorite quarterback, when the player comes through, if you can find that more affordable wide receiver, tight end, who's going to have some big games and come through, well, that's going to take this quarterback that you stacked him with and have a dominant performance that is different than the other players you're playing against. So this is just the cheat code. We're just going to give you some late round stacks that we think you should target. Darnell Mooney or Cole Kmet with Justin Fields.
Okay.
I love this stack. It's one of my most common. George Kittle is pretty much my favorite tight end when he falls. If he's been falling to the fifth. I've seen him in the sixth round, the back of the fifth. If you can grab Kittle and then you come around and pair him with Trey Lance, that is huge upside that doesn't cost you much.
I do have a couple words of warning.
Okay.
I'm not done with Trey Lance's ADP.
You're not down with Trey Lance's?
I'm not done with it.
Oh no. Mike?
It's not.
You're going to raise him up?
Yeah, Josh Groban style.
Come on, man.
So if you want late Trey Lance,
get in now.
You better do it this weekend.
All right. I like Mac Jones. I think Mac Jones is not everybody agrees with me here. But I think Mac Jones is an awesome quarterback, and he's going to be good for fantasy, better than he was last year, obviously, in his second year. Not like Tom Brady, but he's going to be relevant. And you can stack him with Hunter Henry, which is one of my favorites, because you know he's the red zone target. Same with Devontae Parker, who today
it came out being talked up as
their red zone work, Devontae Parker was dominating. Let's say you believe Trevor Lawrence is going to have a good breakout candidate. Get Christian Kirk, who's super undervalued. Two others here. This one's for Kyle. Kyle wants us to say Chris Olave and Jameis Winston because he loves Chris Olave.
All right, we said it. Moving on.
We said it. Also Michael Thomas. But my favorite is Kadarius Toney.
I'm in on this one.
With Daniel Jones. Those guys are not costing you a ton, and you talk about electric upside in a new offense, it's there. So those are the type of guys, when you're at the back of your draft, pay attention to who you're drafting. Like if you're at a wide receiver and you're choosing between two or three wide receivers and you've got one quarterback, can you stack the one you're picking, or has that quarterback already been drafted? Or is like, oh yeah, well if I get Amon-Ra here instead of that guy, or Darnell Mooney, well then I can grab Jared Goff or I can grab Justin Fields. Pay attention and win millions of dollars.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kid's session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
That's going to do it for today's episode of the podcast. Do not forget UltimateDraftKit.com.
I would never forget that.
I know you would, but I'm letting
UltimateDraftKit.com.
Very nice. The only draft tool you need over this offseason, updates the entire offseason.
Also, pro tip.
Oh, you got one.
You can go to MyUDK.com once you have the Ultimate Draft Kit, because that's the only way I get to it. Just go to MyUDK.com once you have it. Quick, easy access to just pull it up.
We will have another show for you on Saturday. We may even see you on Saturday.
Woo!
And then next week, 5 shows. It's August. It's go time. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.